following presentation, Janet Update, Video Futures and Janet Telephony Purchasing Service, was given by Tim Boundy of Janet at NetWorkshop 42 in April 2014.
Hand over to Tim Boundy, colleague of mine in the Strategic Technologies Group at Janet. His career began in the Physics and Space Science Centre at Leicester University, but that gave him a taste for using technology in education, and he's ultimately ended now as the manager of the AV team at Janet, with a group focusing on the use of video technologies in particular to really facilitate education. So, Tim, over to you.
See if we can catch up some time. Are you recording now?
Yeah.
Right, great. Hello, everybody. I've got the opportunity to present two topics to you, one of which I'm definitely the best person to talk to you about, the second one of which I'm probably like the third. I'll do my best on that. The first one, my pet project for the last few years, is the Janet Video Conferencing Service, and in particular, how we're improving the service and adding a new user interface to it. The new service is going to be called vSeen, and is due for launch in July. So those are the big headlines, if you remember nothing else, those two facts. The headlines of what we're planning to develop, or what we are developing right now, for the new service, are that we are going for a simple, intuitive user interface. And I know everything's supposed to be simple and intuitive these days, but we've put a lot of work into this and a lot of user consultation to make sure it makes sense to everybody. We're going to have more focus on immediately launching conferences. People don't like the phrase booking and scheduling, really, when most communications nowadays are pretty much ad hoc. So we do admit that a large sector of our community does like to schedule things. We are a term-based sector. There are lectures. These things are scheduled a long time in advance. So we're still definitely providing that, but also adding ad hoc communications. We will be providing a browser-based desktop client. So if any of you have used a video conferencing downloadable client before, you can have some trouble downloading this thing sometimes. You need admin rights. We're going to move to a browser-based one, which hopefully removes a lot of the concerns. We'll be adding a new feature, personal meeting rooms, which means you can actually have your own labeled and named number and your own meeting room to be able to invite people into, and you can choose whether this is public or private, and there's various settings for that. We're going to be increasing the streaming capacity, and the whole service is designed to be multi-tenanted, and by this I mean we're going to be offering this service to other NRENs around the world. So we're setting ourselves up for not just to develop something for the Janet community, but also develop a much larger project, which of course Janet community will benefit from, and offering this to other NRENs from the outset. And the future focus of our developments after that is going to be on interoperation with other clients so that we can expand the set of things that you can video conference with. So, this is the homepage here. Now, I've got two screenshots, and I've also got an attempt at a live demo of a beta, which, to be honest, is really stupid of me. They're still developing it. In fact, this is the screenshot I took of the login screen. It looks different now, this morning. So this is probably a really daft thing to try and do, but we'll go through it anyway. This is login. The main page you'd look at is if you want to arrange a conference. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the current booking service we have. It's similar-ish to this. You've got two columns, people, video systems. But this is a lot more intuitive, and I'm going to skip right to the demo and see if we can actually show you actually arranging a conference. So here's my profile page with a picture of me at a beer festival and a straw hat. So everyone, of course, gets a profile. I've already logged on here. So if you want to organize a conference, we've tried to speed up the process. Start or schedule a conference. Here we go. So it already knows my favorite video system there. But if I click on here, I can add different video systems and change that. Let's add other people to this. One of my colleagues, Paul Bonnet. There he is. He's booked in here, but it's seeing it's hard. We've got to resolve a scheduling conflict because it's telling us that that room is already booked. We've got a little X here. So I can take Paul out. Let's add Richard instead. Okay, and this is his favorite system, but if this room's not available or not the one he wants, I can click on this and I can add a different system like that. Now, these are just, these little things here are called venue names, and they can represent, or VC system names, and they can represent any type of desktop client, any type of video, standards-based video conferencing system. And in the future, we'll be expanding that out to Link and also, of course, our video-based desktop client. So we've added a couple of people here. Let me see if I can add anyone else. I particularly like this one. Somebody added somebody called Chris P. Bacon. So there they are in the conference there. And start. Ah, something's not available. I knew this wouldn't work. It's Richard. Oh, it's because I put him in the same room that Paul was in. All right. Okay, and that's how quick it can be to launch your conference. Ah, because I looked at it in the past. This is what happens when you do a live demo. So, if we go with the organizations, you can see all the ones we've invented to... they've changed this since yesterday morning. My video systems. These are all the video systems we've registered to do the testing. You can see you can set any of them as your default. Okay, I'll move away from the live demo of something that's changing constantly and back to the slides where I can be a bit more consistent. So as you can see, we're still in development there. We're doing... we're doing live tests with users all the time. We're on about beta 3, I think, at the moment. And it's coming along very nicely. We're using a development firm in the Philippines, and they are very professional, and I would recommend them already. We're working really well together. So those are some of the things that are going to change, some of the extra features. What's not going to change? The same details will apply for. We're not going to be charging any Janet Connections institutions. This will be bundled in with the Janet tariff. Any of the institutions that already do pay, that do not have Janet Connection, will be paying a fee. But this will be roughly similar to what we already charge. So no big changes to the charging. All the current features are maintained and transferred over. All the current user accounts and organizations will be migrated over. We're continuing live operator support, and the system uses H323 video conferencing standards at the core. Some big changes in the development process. We're moving a lot of the features over to video infrastructure. I'm not sure if many of you have had experience with video technology. We're going to be using that desktop client, which is how we're doing it in a browser. We're also going to be using video for recording, streaming, and the new meeting rooms. So if any of you have an interest in video technology, I'm happy to chat to you about that later. In development, we've got several community user groups helping us along the way, from research, FE, HE, content providers, and schools. Each, we do several testing every time, probably several batches of testing every time we get a new beta out. And the main headline is we're launching this in July 2014. So, one of the areas we're hoping to develop a lot in the future is the automated testing. Now, at the moment, you can do a manual test with an operator, but you can also do a quick automated test. And the system we've got for that works quite well. It's quite clever, but we want to scale it up so that people can just use this ad hoc and just go test and then do a quick test and see if they can get their video and audio back. So this is definitely an area of development for the future, as well as integrating with Link, which is becoming more and more popular. And I'm sure some of you would have asked me about that if I'd not said it. So those are the two major areas of development that we're moving forward on after launch. Right, that was it for video. We're moving over to telephony. Now, I'm giving this talk on behalf of Henry Hughes, who was giving this talk on behalf of Roger Bolam. So you'll forgive me if I can't answer any of your questions in detail, but we'll definitely take the questions back and get you answers. Roger's been involved in the development of the Janet Telephony Service from the outset. Unfortunately, he was taken ill and is still in hospital at the moment, so he's unable to give this presentation. But let me go through the major points he wanted me to deliver for you. We'll go through the few details of the services, changes in the market and the NotSpot problem, and information on security. This started off with a pilot. This was many years ago now, on converged communication solutions. Now, this was not successful, which was based on a no-tail platform. This was a few years ago. During late 2011, Roger then responded to requests from members of the communication specialist group and started to work to collate the major issues facing them, those who were providing telephony services. to see if there's anything Janet could do. The feedback was astoundingly single-minded of cost saving, cost saving, cost saving. That's pretty much what everybody wanted. Analysis of the billing that institutions received revealed that the most significant costs were from institutions calling their own users on mobile phones. We also were asked for help in trying to mitigate the procurement overheads and help in facilitating IP-based solutions. So, there were all the big broader issues about the deployment of IP-based telephonies around the quality of service, which was a hot topic for discussion. We have launched a service using a dynamic procurement system for various reasons. It's a lot quicker and easier for everybody, basically. It also means we can be flexible and new providers can come along to the service at any stage. We've used valuation criteria based on the most economically advantageous tender, and it speeds everything up because you can see you've got a 15-day notice for a contract. If you have any more questions about that in particular, you can talk to many Janet people who've been involved in various dynamic procurement processes, but the specific telephony one, we'll forward questions back to Henry and Roger. The service today, these are, and I will admit I'm basically reading this list along with you. Pre-install testing is mandated, so to maintain the quality of this service, different to quality of service, there will be test network tests before the system is installed and then monitoring after. They insist, the suppliers insist on direct IP connectivity. The other major points here are zero rated call costs between telephony services purchased from a supplier, including combinations of mobile and fixed lines. So that's what we're trying to address here, is making the mobile phone calls from your own institution to your own users cheaper. Now, the main ability that we're offering, the facility we're offering, is the ability to offer calls across the Janet network without using quality of service. I'll come on to that in the next slide, but these are the suppliers that have already signed up on the service status, and the customers that have already signed up as well. We do get regular interest in this, and I know that Henry's kept busy with new suppliers showing an interest and new customers. Short-term improvements, we're going to be doing more information, case studies, FAQs. We want to expand the range of suppliers as well. Longer term, we need to look at more technical information on best practice in deploying over your IP network, guidance on telephony circuits, and also on 999 connectivity. There is, and something Mark can probably tell you about, there's a feasibility study for 4G services across Europe. And we'd like to know what you'd like to see from Janet and what priorities you'd like us to move on after we've addressed the cost saving. So quality of service issue. Basically, Janet, the backbone is engineered as a very fast packet switching engine. It's provisioned to minimize loss, in fact, hopefully have none, and minimize jitter. Quality of service might be helpful and appropriate in some campus network architectures, but we do honor quality of service tagging across the core network, so if you want to introduce it, it will be maintained. We are transparent to it. So this is going to be a negotiation between yourselves, the customer, and the provider. We're looking at the requirements for provisioning quality of service across the backbone. But if we'd like to see if anyone has any evidence of any dropped calls or performance issues where quality of service would have helped, we'd love to know. Because at the moment, we're not looking at many technical reasons why we'd need to actually provide this. It is policy-wise something that suppliers would like to see, but the Janet network, we don't believe actually it would make a difference to it. If you want to know more about quality of service, Henry's your man, or Mark. This has sparked off a discussion about security as well. There's been some misunderstandings about how universities operate here. In November 2013, Universities UK hosted a cybersecurity conference. The morning included a ministerial address from David Willetts and a presentation by the Centre of Protection for National Infrastructure. Their messages were pretty clear. There's a growing risk of cyber attacks from both criminals and nation states. And the Centre for Protection for National Infrastructure has been involved with investigating a growing number of incidents involving universities. Some of the attacks were sophisticated. Many could have been prevented by really simple precautions of just not allowing your students to plug in random USB devices. So this means we're likely to see more drivers for information security on top of the actual cyber security issue as well. Okay. That's it for both presentations there. I think I've got about 30 seconds left for questions. I hope they're about video. Are there any questions on this?
I think you've stunned people into good submission. As Tim has said, he's done a sterling job on covering some areas outside his remit. If you do have any questions arising from the topics we've looked at, he's the chap for the new video service. Anything else, myself or Henry would be happy to at least refer you to the appropriate person. So thank you, Tim.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.